Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, August the 3rd. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are in the Big Book on page 55, the chapter We Agnostics, the third paragraph down. We finally saw that faith, through one paragraph ending with, "It was so with us," and the comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Charlene G., the 12 Traditions, Karen S., and the readers of the text are Wendy M., Alex K., and Eileen M. The share ID for Sunday yesterday, the special edition, August the 2nd, is 23,687. That's 23687. And for Monday, August the 3rd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,688. That's 23688. Our newcomer greeter is AMSCH, and the announcements person is Shelley E. Thank you all for your service for the month of August. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Charlene G. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Charlene.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Charlene G. from Heber City, Utah. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you very much. That's Charlene G. from Utah. And I will now ask Karen S. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to do service. Here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you very much. That's Karen S. from Texas. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 55 of We Agnostics, the third paragraph down. We finally saw that faith, through one paragraph ending with, it was so with us. And the comments will be on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Wendy M. from Colorado to begin reading and comment for us. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Mo. Always good to have you on this line. Thank you for your service. I'm Wendy M. I'm recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Happy to be here. Thanks for the service here. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup, just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. He was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. It was so with me, with us, excuse me, with all of us, not just Wendy. Okay, wow, right? So here's what I know. I know that I don't have to think about, do I believe in God? I never contemplate that thought. I just know I experience God constantly, right? Like God is a verb. Faith is a verb. This program, God is about how do I treat people, right? How do I treat people? And, you know, forever, food was the easier, softer way, right? Until it wasn't. Like when I do God's will, it's really hard at first because I have to jump off that cliff, right, and trust. But then it's easy. Doing my will is really easy at first. Binging is super easy. But, you know, 8 seconds later, a day later, it's hard. It's really, really hard, you know. And here's what I know from this, the great reality deep down within us. I don't have to think about this. What happens for me is really what they talk about on page 86. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. And then what used to be the hunch, the occasional inspiration, gradually becomes a working part of the mind, right? So now intuitively, like I know I'm about to gossip about somebody, and then intuitively, you know, I'm on a different footing now, right? The great reality is deep down within me. So I don't have to go very far to know that if I gossip about this person, first of all, I'm going to feel crappy in about 8 seconds, but also I'm doing damage, right? I'm doing damage. And this program is, how do I grow up? This program is, how do I put the food down, stop being 5 years old and be an adult and be okay with 8 seconds of discomfort, right? How do I treat people? I didn't treat people right. I didn't treat myself right, you know? And the great reality deep down is that intuitive knowing, that inspired thought that comes as we practice this. God is super loud. I experience God all the time, especially when I'm not in a good way. I was at a wedding and there were pictures being taken. And of course, I looked at myself in the picture. I didn't look at the six other people. I looked at me. I'm like, oh no, is my face getting fat? Oh no, am I getting fat? Oh no, this isn't going to be okay with me. This is not okay. I'm also a love addict. So if eyeballs aren't on me, I'm not okay with that. And if I get fat, I won't have any eyeballs on me. See, part of the way we get God is we're honest. We're totally and completely raw and honest because God already knows it. Because the only way to get well here, right, is to do well, right? Not to be good, but to get well, to be honest, right? So, you know, 5 minutes of obsessing about myself and what I look like, somebody said, sounds like you're in self. And when you're in self, there's no God to be had. But because God is within me, God knocks on my door immediately and says, how do you like hanging out in yourself, obsessed with the way you look? How's that working for you? Well, God, it's not. That's right, Wendy. It feels like crapola, right? Yes, God, it does. Okay, I need you to go over to that gentleman who's sitting alone at the wedding and talk to him and say hello. Hi. And see how he's doing. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Wendy M. from Colorado, for getting us started. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? Third paragraph down, page 55. We finally saw that faith through one paragraph ending with, it was so with us. I think I heard Alex K.
Thank you.
Margaret J.
Who was that?
Christina J.
from Connecticut.
Oh, Christina. I got Christina and somebody after her.
Margaret O. in Connecticut.
Margaret O. Got you. We have Alex K., Christina J., Margaret O. Anyone else in this lineup?
Deborah G.
Deborah G. All right. Alex K., Christina J., Margaret O., Deborah G. Everyone mute except Alex K. And I'll go from there. Good morning, Alex.
Thanks, Mo. Thanks, everyone, for being here. I'm Alex K., compulsive eater in California, giving a reprieve for today. I was thinking probably I wouldn't have used the word faith before recovery. I might have associated that with God, religion, higher power, and dismissed it because of my prejudice. But faith is, and something has always been behind everything I do. Each action I take is motivated by a belief that it'll bring about a certain result. If I turn on the light switch, the light will go on. If I turn on my car ignition, the car will start. I have faith that's true because I have evidence. It's a faith I can trust. I see the results. Practical examples of action and result, those are things I can rely on and have faith in. But faith in myself to solve my compulsive eating problem is not reliable. I thought if I just try harder, exert more willpower, think of a better idea, I'll be able to control it. And every time I tried, I had faith that this would be the time I'd be able to do it on my own. And even though I didn't get the result I wanted, I kept trying, kept doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Insanity. I'm the problem, so I can also be the solution. I was trying to do the impossible, trying to control something I'm powerless over. And I thought it was up to me to come up with a solution or look out there for a solution. I didn't realize that the solution is right here within me with my higher power. It's an inside job. What a wonderful discovery. The answer isn't in people, no human power, or situations, or possessions, or material objects, including food, not in my reason or logic, not in my finite resources, no matter how hard I try. I need a power greater than myself. And when I admit this and stop putting faith in those things that don't work and turn to my higher power, I tap into my higher power's infinite resources and I find a faith that really does work. My higher power can do for me what I could never do for myself and brings about miracles, restores me to sanity, and removes my food obsession and compulsion. But more than that, I can rely on my higher power to help me in all areas of my life, not just with food. And every time I ask my higher power for help, I see positive results. So my faith is rewarded and grows stronger. And that's another example of action and result I can trust. And today I have a strong faith, a knowing that my higher power is always with me and together we can go through whatever life brings. It's such a comforting thought. And I'm really grateful for this gift of faith, which is like nothing I ever had before. My higher power, my best friend, my constant, compassionate companion. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. That's Alex K. from California. Up next is Christina J., followed by Margaret O. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning, Mo. I love you. Anyway, faith in some kind of God. So I'm a newcomer out here. I'm imagining that. And, you know, what I've come to know as a newcomer is that right now I have faith in food. And it's killing me. It answered all my problems. I ran to it for every condition I had. And I believed in God. That was the thing. But this food thing was strong because I have an allergy of the body. And they're giving us a testimony here that faith in this higher power, faith in this great reality, as you see down there, capitalized. And you'll see capitalized words throughout with different words for God. One of my favorite is love, because don't we all believe in love? And love brought you here. That's what I believe. Love brought me here, because the power within me, this deep down reality, is aching to heal. Is aching not to suffer, is aching to have love and respect and understanding. And when I was in a fat suit, I didn't feel any love or understanding. I was ashamed and scared that everybody thought I was ugly and disgusting. And that's because I was to myself. I couldn't walk in confidence. But I'm here to tell you that if you work these steps, search fearlessly as you go, you'll begin to feel that thing within you, the great reality deep down within us. It's in us. And I always knew about it, but I didn't know how deep it was within me and how, as I continue to work these steps, it blossoms and it takes over running everything in my life, as this last share just explained, that it handles everything, and I don't have to live in suffering in the disease of my soul. The testimony is that you work these steps, and you get through them, and you begin to cultivate this passion and this love for this thing within you, and we have to work for it. You know, we have to row the boat. We can't just sit in the boat out in the middle of the ocean enjoying the breeze. You know, we're going to just sit out there and get uncomfortable because we're not moving. God is at the helm. We row. That's what faith is. We have faith that this power is going to lead us to where we need to go in our life. In every situation, job loss, relationship trouble, whatever it is, we row and God leads the boat. And we can relax. We don't have to fight anything or anybody, as it says in our book. That's the beautiful thing about connecting with this power, that you will eventually, even if you're not now. Just keep taking the steps. Keep walking the road. And you'll discover that your heart opens like a lotus flower to the sun. And I know I'll finish up with this. I know that God is not chocolate. He doesn't taste like chocolate. It just doesn't do the job, right? But eventually, God will be what you need, and the chocolate will be disgusting. Believe it or not, believe it or not. I mean, you know, that's the way it is. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Christina J. She's from Washington State. Up next is Margaret O., followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, Mo. Thanks for your service. Thanks for everybody being here and the newcomers and everybody doing service. So Margaret O. from Connecticut. Love this whole chapter. Just like, just taking it in day after day. And, you know, I have to celebrate a different experience yesterday that with my recovery. I went to a family reunion, 30-plus people, and, man, my character defects were trying to rear their ugly heads on the days before, did lots of 10 steps, made my 3 outreach calls a day, and, you know, I read the Overeaters Anonymous book yesterday morning, and the last page 6 of it says, you know, no matter where you've been, no matter what you felt or haven't felt, loved or hated, you may be sure of our unconditional acceptance. And when I read that, it made me cry, because these rooms and the fellows that I have in this program, God comes through them, much to my surprise, because I isolated for so long as the youngest of 6 in a family that was, you know, emotionally kind of disconnected, not kind of, still even. But, you know, I was so leaned into HP yesterday, and I made a call before I went, you know, I was on the way there, and, you know, just setting my intention, I'm going to, you know, go to the bathroom, take a few breaths in the restroom, and, you know, recenter myself with a higher power and kind of what, lead me. And he did. I call him a him. And I had a very painful experience yesterday with my family, not because necessarily my character defects, just because of how I experienced them in truth. And I really was not wearing a mask. Almost, I could have been the first time in my life that I wasn't trying to, like, you know, make conversation, say all the right things, anticipate what's going on in their life, and how can I, you know, I just was like, okay, here I am hanging out. HP, where do I go next in the room? Where do I, you know, and he situated me in so many different ways, that some of which were painful, but I came off of it like not at all compulsive. I came home, I cried, I made a phone call, I made 2 phone calls, you know, and talked to fellows. And those were the connections that sustained me. I had no thought of food. I had no desire. I was tuned into my HP, and it was enough. And it was like, wow. I mean, I honestly, just like sitting atop a high mountain and the wind blowing through, you know. So there's my time, and thanks again for letting me share. Have a blessed day.
Thank you very much. That's Margaret O. from Connecticut. Let me remind everybody where we are before I take Deborah. We are on page 55 of We Agnostics, the 3rd paragraph down. We finally saw that faith through 1 paragraph ending with, "It was so with us." The comments are on that 1 paragraph only, and after Deborah G., I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service and everyone's service making this meeting possible and all the shares. Thank you for 12-stepping me today. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're with us today. Wow, I came to mind? I was thinking was when I heard the words from someone that was so profound to me. The words were, "What I seek, I'm seeking with." And wow, it just affirmed for me that deep down inside, and it's right here all the time, closer than my breath and my feet. It's right here. And when I remember, or when I get an obstacle, you know, what might be a defect, my thinking, let's put it that way, which creates all those disturbances, it's my thinking that keeps me from faith. It's my thinking that keeps me from that connection. To go within, connect there with my heart, connect with stillness, connect with love, connect with peace. That's there. Keep dropping in, and then ask that to be used to work through me to others. I love when I work with sponsees, and my sponsor reminded me and taught me this was, before we start, we do a connection. We do a prayer to connect, to get centered in that place so that we can have the experience again, now with our heads. Yes, we're doing some reading, but to have an internal life experience, not an external. And it's just, I'm so grateful to continue to keep doing this work over and over to get to see that awareness. Stay awake, alert, aware, and then I stay alive. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So that is on any of the three meetings that we have. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Kay from Iowa.
Kay, I got Kay. I thought I heard Eileen. K-S and Eileen M. Anyone else in this lineup?
Amelia O, New York.
Amelia O. Okay. So I have K-S, Eileen M, Amelia O.
Susan G, Tennessee.
Susan G. Anyone else? Okie dokie. I have K.S., Eileen M., Amelia O., and Susan G. If everyone else would mute except K. Good morning, K.
Good morning. How is everybody? Thanks for your service, both you and also all the people that share. I really love this paragraph. Even the first three words, we finally saw. I mean, that's what it felt like. I was in such a food fog and that I finally could see. And then when I see we found the great reality deep down within us, I think about there's kind of a popular thing now, like with our shortcomings and just hardships in life. It says drop the rock, drop the rope. And then I was thinking as people were talking today is, yeah, and drop in to deep within yourself. Because that's where home is. We have a local theater here, and they did the play Wizard of Oz. And I kept thinking when she was saying, I want to go home, I want to go home. Oh, there's no place like home. And I kept thinking like, oh, that's like OA. All I have to do is become aware. And if I have ruby slippers, I'll click them too. But but for sure, just become aware that there is something bigger than us. Better for sure. I love my God is love and all things that are loving and good. And so it's like tapping into that energy, you know, that created like the universe and just, you know, also a four-leaf clover and a baby, all those good things that, you know, you can just see it everywhere, the power of this great reality that we have, this great friend we have, and that it's within each of us. And If I can just quiet my mind and if I can just slow down, especially when things are difficult. Sometimes bathrooms are my sanctuary everywhere in the world, because when I feel it starting to rise up, I head for a bathroom, like, I just need some quiet. I need to get back in my zone. So anyway, but thank you very much. That's all I've got, and a great reading. And Mo, I always appreciate you. So thanks so much.
Thank Bye-bye. You. Where are you calling from, Kay?
Oh, I'm sorry, KS from Iowa.
All right. Thank you very much. That's KS from Iowa. Up next is Eileen M., followed by Amelia O. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I'm a grateful recovered overeater, compulsive eater in New Hampshire. And just thinking about this, I was looking at the paragraph before where it says that the idea of God might be, you know, may be obscured by calamity and worship of other things. Oh my gosh, you know, before I got to these big book meetings, you know, when I was struggling so long in OA, I had this impression that, like, God was outside of me, and God was supposed to give me everything I wanted, and that was what God was all about, you know. And gosh, you know, doing this work in this program, you know, this particular meeting, Vision for You, is that I came to this realization that, you know, that's not true. You know, that's not what life is about, getting what I want. It's, you know, it's about wanting what I have, you know, and, you know, becoming other-centered. And I just love this idea of, if God is deep down within me, then God is always with me. And God is everywhere I go. And, you know, God is always ready to help me whenever I need help. You know, if I ask, if I acknowledge God's presence and ask for help, you know, I get guidance. You know, I can rely on it. You know, I've come to rely on it. And, you know, if I just keep filling that channel every day with prayer and meditation, you know, I do get help and I get guidance. And I wanted to share that last week my husband and I were on vacation, and we were in rural Vermont where there's nothing. There's no public transportation or taxi or Uber or anything. And my husband parked the car outside the hotel room, and I went in, and this elderly woman came along. She was driving really fast, and she hit the car, and she totaled the car. And so then we had no car, and it rained every day. I was amazed that, you know, I don't know, I just knew that God was with us and that we were being led to the next right thing. And, you know, we spent a lot of time in prayer meditation. My husband's also in recovery. He's in Al-Anon. But, you know, there were so many God shots last week. It was just incredible. You know, it's just, you have to look for them, you know, and I love how it says that we search fearlessly. And I believe that is referring to we search with inventory. You know, we're constantly doing inventory to uncover the obstacles that are in our way. So I'm really grateful, and thanks so much.
Well, thank you very much. That's Eileen M. from New Mexico. Up next is Amelia O., followed by Susan G. Good morning, Amelia. Tell us where you're calling from, please.
Hey, good morning. My name is Amelia. I'm calling from New York. The idea of the great reality deep down within us, I have a question mark in my big book next to it because it was such an odd concept for me, having come from a religious tradition where the idea of God was very much emphasized as something external, something very concrete outside of who I am. And the thing I like about the idea of a great reality deep down within us is that it means that within me there is something truly good. And that's something I can tell myself isn't true. But the idea that within me there is always some kind of nobility, love, beauty, truth, justice, however you want to define your higher power, your highest ideals, that it's part of me. And yes, sometimes I do have to search fearlessly because I'm human and I get caught up by pain and suffering and all of those things that Bill talks about that keep us away from God. But I'm really grateful for that knowledge that there is something really good inside each one of us. And that's something I try to grab onto. And it is something natural for me as a human being. It's part of my makeup. And I'm just really, really grateful for that. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Amelia O. from New York. And before I take Susan, let me remind everybody where we are. We're on page 55, We Agnostics, the third paragraph down. We finally saw that faith, that ending with, just reading through that one paragraph ending with, it was so with us. And after I take Susan, I will take another lineup. Good morning, Susan.
Oh, hi, Mo, and hi, everybody. Susan G. in Tennessee, actually driving right now. Recovered compulsive overeater and grateful member of OA and Revision. So I just loved the first line of this reading. In particular, the word friend has never struck me before. And, finally I was able to see that faith, in some kind of God, right? A part of our makeup, just the feeling of a friend. So I needed a friend. When I had a lot of acquaintances, certainly had family when I came to OA 21 years ago, but I was miserable, weighing well over 300 pounds, taking 5 shots of insulin a day, and eating constantly. I couldn't stop. I didn't know I had a disease. And likewise, even though I grew up in a faith and went to many lengths to find God, I didn't know I had a friend. A friend inside who lives within my walls. I trust that wants only what's best for me and only to ask me to just be the best person I can be, the best human I can be. I was always trying to, I guess, be superhuman in some way. So just the idea that in my very bones and in the very humanity of my makeup, there is a belief now and a knowing now, maybe not understanding details of it, but that indeed I have a friend. Friend, and I have a friend in the fellowship, all of you. And thank you so much for my recovery. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That's Susan G. from Tennessee. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So that's on any of the other meetings also. So who would like to share on this paragraph? Page 55, We Agnostics, the third paragraph down. We finally saw that faith ending with, it was so with us. I will take the lineup of names.
Robin T., Massachusetts.
Karen H. in
Robin,
Florida.
Was that Robin? Was it P or T?
T like Tom.
Okay, thank you. And who was after Robin?
Karen H.
Karen H.
In Florida.
In Florida. Gotcha.
Jan,
Rachel,
Rachel G.
I heard a Jan and a Rachel. I think we'll have to stop there. Jan is a C. And Rachel, what's your last initial?
Rachel G. in New York.
G. All right. So I have move cap. So I have Robin T., Karen H., Jan C., and Rachel G. I think we'll be able to get all of you. All right, everyone, mute except Robin T.
Hi there. I'm Robin T., a compulsive overeater living in Massachusetts. This is an amazing paragraph for me. It reminds me of, and thank you, Mo, for your service. I love listening to you, host. When I was a child, I remember I had faith in some kind of God, like just being a little girl and seeing flowers in the park and looking at leaves and trees, it made me feel like there was a God of some kind. And it just was inside of me, outside of me. And recently I was sick for 2 weeks with like a bad sinus infection. And I was having trouble eating at night, even though I was keeping my abstinence during the day. And it was odd because I was praying to God to help me. And I was trying to do the things we do. And I had no power over that at night. It was like my body, the allergy of the body would kick in at a certain hour and go, okay, head for the pantry. And while I was sick somehow, because I was praying and that part in the book where it says we relax and take it easy, we don't struggle, I had to do that because I was sick. And I remembered that. And one night when I was ready to go to the pantry, I just heard or felt this voice that was, we don't do this anymore. We don't do that anymore. We relax and take it easy. And we look for inspiration from God. And I've been doing the third step prayer a lot. Just, you know, telling God, oh, you got me. I'm giving myself to you. And so today is my eighth day again of abstinence. I didn't think it was possible. I just didn't think it was possible. So I hope that helps someone on the line. And thank you all for being here. I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Robin T. from Massachusetts, I think you said.
Massachusetts.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Up next is Karen H., followed by Jan C. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mo. So grateful to be here with all of you this morning. Oh, my gosh. This paragraph and the paragraph above have so altered my way of being, for which I am forever grateful. I joined OA at 16, so I was in the rooms of recovering all of my adult life. And the best that I could do for decades was the wisdom of the group, the power of the group, the strength of the group. And the thing about all of that was people power. And people power didn't do it for me. My own power, other people's power, the power of other people was not sufficient. And yet I had, from calamity and dramas and traumas of young years, this incredible prejudice against all things religious and God. So that was as far as I was willing to go or able to go. And I didn't have the big book during those years, so I didn't have exact blueprint with a recovered sponsor to show me that there's a possibility, despite that reality of childhood, that I can find a power greater than myself. But I would call myself a technotard in the past. And back then, we used to have those wonderful iPods. And I miraculously was able to download Joe and Charlie taking us through the 12 steps when I first started the big book 16 years ago. And I had it on repeat over and over. And Charlie had talked about these paragraphs, and it was like the light just shined right down on me, into my head, into my heart. And I was never the same after that. When I really heard and heard and heard what he said, and it just struck me so powerfully that deep down in every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God, and that it's as old, in fact, as man himself, and that we finally saw that faith and some kind of God was part of our makeup. You know, when I heard these over and over, I said, oh my gosh, it's like in our DNA. For certain, it's in our DNA, because since we walked on this planet, we have created a God in one way, shape, or form. No matter a primitive civilization or advanced, whatever, wherever we have created society, we have created a God of our understanding. So it's like I'm railing against DNA you know, with my limited little self, here I am, you know, railing against it and not wanting really to believe this reality, this great reality that is deep down within me and within us, that the need for God. And once that cracked my whole insides open for willingness and hope that this is possible for me, and it was possible for me, it was the beginning of the beginning, where God today is the most important thing. And people are God helpers, they are not God. And so I put this burden on people for what they are not able or capable to be. And now I have placed it just where, thank you, where it should be, in God of my understanding. And with that, I will pass.
And Karen, tell us where you're calling from again. Okay, up next is Jan C., followed by Rachel G. Let us know where you're calling from, Jan.
Hi there, Mo, and everybody who's on the line. I'm so grateful to be with this big fellowship today. This is Jan C. from Denver, Colorado. And the last lines of this really strike me. He was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it's only there that he may be found. It was so with us. So the us is those 100 people early in AA's life. And they had such a variety of experiences. And yet they came to put this line in here. It was so with us. And I've had a belief in an empowered grid in myself all my life. But God was outside of me. And what I'm really working on, now I'm not saying working on, what God's working on with me is helping me to know that he is, the Spirit of God is really within me. That's a very, very humbling thought. And I've had so many miracles happen since I really had a rebirth in this program. And so I just want to share with everybody that I had a third OA birthday on the first. That's nothing short of a miracle. And I have been really able to listen directions much better than I have in the past. And I use a God box all the time, and it's so special for me to put all my concerns in there. And we don't have time, and you're not really all interested in this, but oh my gosh, the miracles that have happened for me and my family and others. So thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be in this program and continually working the steps each day. One of them is, you know, a tool is going to meetings. Here I am. Thanks, God. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you very much. That's Jan C. from Colorado. And our last share today is going to be Rachel G. And Rachel, you let me know where you're calling from. Good morning. I thought I heard a Rachel G. I could be wrong.
Hi, this is Rachel G. from New York. I couldn't press the unmute button. Grateful, compulsive overeater. Thank you for your service and everybody's share. I love how short this paragraph is, but we've, and I think I have, previous to this, probably like for 13 years, was in, not relapse the entire time, but I'd say for the past 4 or 5 years. And it's incredible because I had to have, like, right now I am like reflecting on this paragraph and just seeing, like, I am grateful to reach out to God, and it really is through a lot of fellows, but just taking smart actions to, you know, rely on a higher power. And more as I go, as I develop in this program in life, like, I'm seeing that, oh, a few months ago, you know, my relationship with God wasn't as strong. And it's like I put the little bits in, and our relationship can grow deeper and deeper, and I can turn to God more and walk in with God versus just being like feeling like an island or in an abyss, which is a lot of times in the past few years how I felt. Like there was like, because I couldn't control things, I was just like feeling like I was floating alone in an ocean. So it's really great to see like I can still do things that are scary and see that those fears and resentment and the pain are caught like inspiration to turn to God, because I wouldn't do it otherwise at all. So just being able to let go of food behaviors to go through the discomforts of life, it's helping me to turn to God. And then to see like on the flip side, like all of the gratitudes just on the daily of being like, okay, I have my car, I have, oh, this opportunity came up. Just the small things that are in front of us when we wake up, and then like the miraculous things. So thank you for letting me share. That's all.
Thank you very much, Rachel G. from New York. She's our last share. Thank you everyone for your shares and for making this meeting a great meeting. All right. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Alex K. to please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Alex.
Thanks, Mo. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until...